During Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Shin Tet Zayin. This is a new semester, but we're in the middle of a discussion about haughtiness, arrogance. And Magid Miduvno, who wrote this phenomenal work, was in the middle of telling us an allegory. He said it's like a king that has a son who's a total fool, and he's not intelligent, and he's deaf, and he's blind. And anything you could find, any fault that a person could have, this child had. And when the father saw that his son was in such a state, so he set up a little village where that boy lived. And he told the poorest servants that he had, those that couldn't really do anything special, he told them they have to serve his son in that village and they have to obey whatever he commands. And after a period, the king's advisors and the king's nobles showed up, and they see that the king is sitting on his throne, and on his right is sitting that son. And the father is teaching that son how to rule over people. And he's explaining to him the different courtesies and the different orders of things. And he tells him, you know, this is how it's going to be when they crown you, and this is how you're supposed to treat everyone in the country. And he's going over the details of how to be a king with this son. He's going through all the details, and all these nobles, they look at one another, and they ask themselves, wait a second, this king is so intelligent, this king is so successful, does he really entertain the thought that he's giving over the kingdom into the hands of this son? Is this son going to end up leading us to war? Is this son going to be judging our court cases? Is he going to decide the norms of our society? Is he the one that's going to really be running the show? Does the father really, is he blind to the fact that this son is so crippled, that the son lacks intellect? How could he leave this son in charge of the kingdom? So they asked the king, and that's where we left off last semester, where they asked the king, what are you thinking? Vayomer lehem, we're on page Shin Tet Zayin, the king said to them, Ki kol ilat halimud hazeh lehaktin nafsho beinav. The whole purpose of studying this with his son was to make him humble. Hainu, meaning, ki achar asher nityachda lo kirya beino yitze mimena, because this son of his was given a village, and in his little village, well, he's the king, he runs the show, and he never leaves the village. And basically, he surrounded his son with imbeciles so that his son would be able to run the show. Now, no one of any value sets foot in that village. So all he knows is that group of people that are around him that are all too eager to obey what he says. So basically, even though his son is a fool, but everyone around him is a bunch of imbeciles. So his son feels like he really understands what's going on in the world, and he's a big knacker. Being that they're more foolish than his son, so his son can get away with being king. So that's what the king set up. He wanted to set his son up well, so he set up a village. He sent his son to a place where he could really succeed. So they're really fitting to serve this son, and they have a lot of respect for him. They really obey him. So he noticed that his son starts to feel like he's a real big knocker. He's starting to think like, look at me. He's becoming very arrogant.
What is this? Is this
more?
Or what are we doing right now?
We are doing Sefer Amidot. Because he gets the feeling that the world is comprised of people like the people in his village. Now this happens often, that you meet people who have their little town, their little society, and in their society they've accomplished. The first place you see it is when a child hits 8th grade. So if the school, if the top class is 8th grade, so the 8th graders feel like they're kings of the world. They're the top class. They're the bullies. They know what's going on. They're the 8th grade, right? And then these 8th graders enter 9th grade, and suddenly they're the smallest class. They're the little boys. Everyone's bigger than them. And they start from scratch, and then they hit 12th grade, and suddenly again, they're the big knackers, right? They know what's going on. They're the ones who are running the show. And then again, the cycle repeats itself. But the truth is that it's a cycle of life. Very often, people maintain their little kingdom where they can really run the show, and they're only running the show because everyone around them is less intelligent than them or less successful than them. And that's what the Mishnah warned us when the Mishnah said, a person should rather be the tail of lions than be the head of foxes. Because it's very easy to be the head of people who are on a low level. It's much harder, but it forces us to grow when we go to a place where everyone else is lions. So this is an allegory. He's saying this is a mashal. He's in the middle of getting a point across. But the truth is that even this point within the mashal is a very true point. Very often it's tempting for a person to stay at a lower school in an environment where things are not as productive so that in that environment he can succeed, but really he's not growing. A person stunts his growth, and a person should try to grow throughout his life. We should often try to find a place where we have what to aspire to. I remember I was in Merkaz Harav, and in Merkaz Harav, if you walk into the Beis Medrash at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're not the early bird. There are people there from 5 o'clock in the morning. You stay late till 12, you're not the big masmit, because there are other people staying till 12:30. And when I left that yeshiva, I went to another yeshiva, where the average person showed up at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I remember thinking to myself, this is terrible. Because if I show up at 8 o'clock, I feel like I'm really accomplishing, because I'm an hour and a half before the first guy who shows up after me. And if I stay here till 10 o'clock, I'm the last one, I shut the lights. So I remember telling myself, I'm going to get a wrong perspective staying here. Because I could do very little and feel like I've done a lot, because compared to everyone around me, I've really done a lot. But that's not going to help me grow. So we have to try to find places that we're not the top. We have to try to find places where we have to work to get there. So the king says, I noticed that my son in his environment is super confident and he really thinks he's a big shot. And if he sometimes thinks, hey, there are other villages out there other than my little village, yishpot aleihem, so he thinks, yeah, but I know what villages are like. He says, yeah, I know, there are other people out there, but they're imbeciles like my servants. He doesn't realize that his father set him up with imbeciles because he himself is an imbecile. So his father set him up with people so that he could rule. So a person thinks, yeah, they're just like my servants. So I wanted to cure him of that. And by the way, this can happen. One of the points you'll hear from me time and again throughout the year is the importance of finding a community which is observant, a community where everyone around you is really observing Torah and mitzvot, and it's supportive of your observance and your children's observance. And that's a very important point. It's a point I will repeat because it's one of the points that Machon Meir alumni tend to err on. People tend to leave Machon Meir and think they can go back to the place they came from. People think, I grew up in an irreligious environment and I succeeded, so I bet I can do it again, or my children can do it. And that's a mistake, and people pay the price for it. So you're going to hear this point many times this year. In spite of that, there's a certain shortcoming. Sometimes when a person is in a homogeneous crowd, they get certain perspectives. I remember I was in a certain yeshiva in a far out town in the U.S. and the only non-Jew that the students met was the janitor whose job was to walk around picking up papers. So they would always say, you know, non-Jews aren't too intelligent, because they only knew one or two non-Jews who really weren't too intelligent. I mean, these people were barely literate. And you'd stand there looking at them and think, you know, who invented half the stuff you're using? You know, Thomas Edison wasn't a Jew. But in their little bubble, what they knew was that how stupid the workers were around them. But that was like the story. Yeah, sure, they're in a little bubble, and the only non-Jew they're meeting happens to be a person who's barely literate. Okay, but maybe they have to get out of that bubble and go see some college professors. Maybe they have to see that there's intelligence out there. There's the Talmud says, Chochma bagoyim tamin. If someone tells you, you know, there are really smart non-Jews, believe him. He's right. That's the truth. Wisdom is abundant. It's not only here. It's all over. So that's although throughout the year we're going to stress the importance of bringing up children in a religious environment and an observant community, you still have to think how to balance the children so that they have respect. They realize there is a world out there. The world doesn't end in their little shtetl, in their little town. So the father, the king, says, I wanted to cure my son of his arrogance. I wanted to teach him a little bit about how real warriors function, about how the real world functions. I wanted to tell him a little bit about what's out there. What are real kings like? What's real honor? What's real strength? What's real greatness? And then he'll suddenly realize, hey, I got none of that. I couldn't stand up with courage at a time of war. I couldn't figure out real plans to win a war. And then my son will get some perspective. He'll realize that he doesn't have those qualities. Then he'll realize that he shouldn't be so arrogant. So that's the allegory. And we can understand the message. We'll read it Bezrat Hashem on Thursday. We'll pick up here what the message is. But very often, this is really the way the world works. This is an idea we find in Tanakh. We find it in our sages, that very often people are most arrogant when they have least to be arrogant about. When people really do not have what to be proud about, very often that's when they're most arrogant. You find it in every venue, everywhere you go. You can find it with a clerk that you have to deal with in a store. You can find it wherever you go. It's rampant in every rung of the ladder. You find people that way. There are many stories that way. So we'll pick up here, Bezachim, on Thursday.